Hi everyone, welcome to Techmin's podcast series, bringing you recent technology updates through interviews with industry leaders. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate your listening to our show today. This week, we are talking about the impact of technology in healthcare. I'm Nitishri Gupta, your host, and I'm really pleased to have Jamie Edwards on the show with me. Welcome to the show, Jamie. I'm so happy to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Nitishri, it's great to be here with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Great. I'm super excited to be hosting this show today because what you are doing in your field is potentially game-changing. And just to give you all a better idea, let me run you through his profile. Jamie is a serial health entrepreneur with over 25 years of experience in building successful companies, having led transactions worth $10 billion. He's an advisor, mentor, and coach to entrepreneurs nationwide. He is a recognized thought leader in the field of digital health and entrepreneurship. He has been a featured speaker and a panelist at HIMSS, SoCal Bio, Startup Health, Cornell Tech, and AICPA, among others. Currently, Jamie is the Chief Platform Officer at Startup Health, which was founded in 2011 to invest in promising entrepreneurs. Wow. That looks really amazing, Jamie. But before moving on, can you talk to us a little bit about what is it being a chief platform officer and what is Startup Health all about?
Sure. Startup Health is probably the largest digital health innovation ecosystem in the world. We've invested in over 430 companies since inception. And currently, we are structured around health moonshots. The main goal of Startup Health and the main mission was to solve the world's greatest health challenges. And the way that we chose to do that is we really believe in founders and we believe in entrepreneurship. And so we wanted to place a bet on those founders. And so we created a community-driven learning program where those founders could come, realize they're not alone, be seen, be heard, give us the opportunity to amplify their great stories to all the networks that we've been able to create over the last 15 years and create what is a really supportive environment for our founders. We call our founders health transformers, and we have a specific curriculum that we've developed here, and we've just launched what we call Health Transformer University, which is a place where these founders can come, get educated, team up with other founders around specific missions. For us, as I mentioned before, those missions are moonshots, and we have a broad variety of different moonshots that we're currently pursuing as an organization and as a community. We have 15 plus moonshots right now that are active, ranging from things like reducing the cost of care to zero, increasing access to care, to our most recent moonshots, which are type 1 diabetes, health equity, and again, Alzheimer's. And so, you know, those moonshots are at the crux of what we really believe, which is that if you team up with a community of people, because it takes a village to change healthcare for the better, and we wanted to set up that village and bring together the world's best founders, the world's best innovators, and the world's best funders of healthcare innovation into one platform. And that platform is Startup Health.
Wow, amazing. Such an interesting organization. We would love to deep dive on this. Looking at your impressive background, I'm sure there's a lot to learn from you. May I request my audience to sit back, relax, and get ready to learn something new from this fantastic guest here. Starting up, Jamie, as we all know, there have been pandemics in human history in the past, but this is the very first pandemic where people had access to online digital technologies, which enabled, say, working online or schooling online, shopping grocery online, and above all, seeing the doctor online. Pandemic surely has changed the way we work and the way we access healthcare. With all this in mind, Jamie, we would like to ask you, in what ways has the pandemic accelerated the adoption of technology in healthcare?
You know, Nitishri, it's such a great question. The fact of the matter is that healthcare typically has lagged other industries in terms of implementing a lot of the things that we take for granted in finance or e-commerce. In healthcare, there's a generally risk-averse culture. We all know the system needs to change and needs to get better. But because lives are on the line, because it's highly regulated, because it's become so expensive and there's a lot of revenue at stake, it's just become, you know, averse to change. And, you know, one of the ways that we see that change happening is obviously by betting on founders. But during COVID, you know, if you take a look at investment in digital health as an example, there was a time pre-COVID and a time post-COVID. And during COVID, we saw investment in digital health balloon to over $40 billion. In 2021, that number dropped in 2022 back down to around $23 billion. And this is based on Startup Health Insights data. We actually track the industry and use that data to monitor what the industry is doing. So there was a huge amount of investment in these technologies that helped people handle what was a scary environment at the time, which was going into the hospital. There was a lot of fear. No one understood the implications of COVID, how it was spread, the contagion pattern, or anything of that nature. And so people forewent care or needed to find another way to get that care. And that care was then delivered via telemedicine. And so we saw this big, huge, accelerated adoption of telemedicine platforms. And I think, Natishri, we can all agree that, you know, healthcare having a digital front door makes sense. And that having to show up for a doctor's appointment and sit in a waiting room for 30 minutes to an hour to wait to see your physician typically isn't the best experience. And if technology can help decompress the healthcare system, meet patients where they are and create a better experience, then we should be implementing and doing those things. So during COVID, we saw the relaxation, especially here in the States, of a lot of the regulations that made telemedicine a challenge. And so we saw its broad adoption. People realized that it, in fact, was a very workable solution that provided a great experience that in many instances and environments was equal to being in person in terms of healthcare and getting a prescription or being diagnosed. And while the gold standard in the industry is very much still being seen in person, the fact of the matter is that telemedicine can serve as a great front door to help patients wayfind and navigate to the right level of care at the right time. And, you know, that's important for the industry. It created a lot of cost efficiencies. It helped make healthcare more affordable, more accessible, but it also came with its challenges. We realized that digital health in many ways would mimic, because we built the digital health platforms to emulate real life environments. So then if we were doing that, we might have built bias into the system. We might have built certain challenges into the system because that's how we did things when we were in person, that instead we could have almost like engineered out of the process. And so now what we're seeing in digital health is a second wave of implementations and innovation around creating a more equitable experience. And it was interesting because pre-COVID, I was running actually a health equity solutions company called Cloudbreak Health. Brought language interpreters to the point of care for limited English proficient to deaf patients so that everyone in a healthcare environment could speak their own language. But pre-COVID, not a lot of people were taking note of services like that. COVID really exposed the underbelly of the healthcare system and all of its seams. And now every major healthcare institution has a health equity initiative. And it's really great to see that type of progress being made, the advent now of AI being used more frequently. There's just a lot of really wonderful technologies that are out there that can help us make better decisions and provide better care environments and meet patients where they are.
That's really interesting. You spoke about how COVID exposed the underbelly of healthcare systems. I've got something to add on to that. In Techment, about 1.5 years back, when we were venturing into data engineering services, we would get this often asked in our sales calls by our customers. Why do we even need a data warehouse? Or what is ETL? Or why do we need a reverse ETL for that matter? But cut to today, almost every day when we are talking to hot startups or well-established enterprises, they themselves say that they want to modernize their in-house infrastructure. So surely pandemic has forced us to embrace new ways of delivering care and technology. Building on that, Jamie, what do you have to say about in what ways has technology enhanced the efficiency and effectiveness of telemedicine?
Yeah, I think that there's a number of different ways. So clearly there's been the advent of different technologies like chatbots who could efficiently ask a patient pre-qualifying questions to figure out where that patient or who should see that patient, where that patient should go to see, receive their care. But really what it's about is creating a better overall experience for the patient where the patient isn't wasting time or being in anxiety prone environments while they're waiting to actually receive that care. If you take a look in the United States at organizations like Kaiser or the VA, even before COVID, they were doing over 50% of their visits using telemedicine, and they controlled that patient experience end to end. So what does it tell you? It tells you that if you have the opportunity to really create what is a better system, that telemedicine is a more efficient and equally quality way to guide patients to the right level of care, or see their lower acuity use cases, or follow up with them post-discharge, as the case may be in many environments. I think that when you take a look at the fact that the VA had done a study and basically said that telemedicine had saved them 3 or 4% of their overall costs in what is a multi-billion dollar environment, because they reimburse patients for their travel to and from their visits, and being able to save those travel costs, being able to increase compliance of the patients actually showing up for their visits because they don't need to travel, they don't need to park, they don't need to find a babysitter to take care of their child or someone who they're a caregiver for, all creates what is a better, more efficient, higher quality, most importantly, more accessible system for the patient.
Sure. Telemedicine is a great example, I'm sure, of how technology is improving access to care, no matter it's expected to boom to a $130 billion industry in 2025. Surely it's doing a great service to the society by reducing the overall costs of care, as you spoke about a little while ago, improving contact between physicians and far-off patients, promoting better connectivity and saving on time. So there are no two ways about it.
No, definitely agree with that. And, when you take a look, I think there was a recent McKinsey article from last year that basically said, there's actually $250 billion of digital transformation opportunities available just in the U.S. healthcare system alone. So you think about that on a global basis and you realize there's just a ton of opportunity to make the system more efficient, more patient-centered, and actually more provider-centric as well. Everyone talks about being patient-centric. That's critically important. But we need to understand that these doctors and the clinical teams are constantly being challenged work in harder and harder environments, see more patients, make less money, see the patients more quickly. And it's creating what is a very rushed experience at the point of care. So any technology, and that was the main mission of what we were doing when I was at Cloudbreak, we could put at the fingertips of physicians to restore the joy of calling back to medicine on a global basis is something that I personally would welcome.
That's really interesting. Would you want to talk to us about how can the organizations optimize technology integration in systems and workflows to improve the overall patient care?
Yeah, well, I think when you take a look at what hospitals and health systems really want in the United States right now, it's really centered, and I believe this is global too, it's really centered around platforms and not point solutions. So the last thing a hospital or health system needs is yet another device in the halls of their hospital that does only one thing. And so I think the concept of integration is actually really important. And it's also directly related to what's another key topic, which is interoperability. The fact of the matter is that the systems, we frequently have treated patient data as an asset as opposed to something that the patient owns and the patient can guide. And so the interoperability and the ability for a patient to port their data from one doctor to another, have access to the data themselves and learn how to be a better consumer of their own healthcare data is critically important. And the only way to really achieve that is with new interoperability measures. We actually have new regulations here in the United States that are being put into effect to drive the improvement of information sharing across different platforms. And then in hospital, having all of the clinical collaboration tools be able to integrate and speak with each other. So that you don't have a system off on its own that doesn't play well or play nicely with others. And that is another place that a doctor, clinical team person, or administrator needs to be able to access information that they should really have in one joint dashboard, one data platform, or one data lake, as an example.
Absolutely. And technology has the greatest impact on, say, patient monitoring, on data analysis and communication. And when it comes to successful technology integration, it requires a great deal of collaborative approach involving all stakeholders, like patients, the healthcare providers, the IT professionals for that matter.
That's definitely the case. And Natishree, if you look at it, when we were rolling out our platform at CloudBreak, we found it really, really important that we didn't just find one champion in one sector of the hospital and sell our product to them or introduce our solution to them. It was important that we found that we actually led a cross-functional team that included administration, clinical, IT, compliance, so that everybody could jointly make the decision on what was the right platform and what was the right implementation for them. Because more often than not, if you did it any other way, one of those other groups would actually get in the way of the implementation. Clinical said we really need the system, but I'm running IT and I have a new Epic implementation that I'm working on, so I'm not going to be able to get to it for the next year. It's really important that you break down silos between these groups and instead build cross-functional teams that can solve the problem at hand.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you on this. Jamie, can you talk to us a little about what new and emerging technologies are poised to revolutionize the healthcare industry?
You know, it's hard to ignore the elephant in the room right now, which is artificial intelligence. It seems to be disrupting a ton of different industries. Right now, healthcare has used it as a clinical decision support tool, but obviously with the proponents of ChatGPT in market right now and other solutions like that, it's interesting to me. You know, I take a look at my, what I learned when I was in school, Natishree, and it was all about like the information we could keep in our head. It was memorization, understanding facts, and being able to pull all that together into a cohesive thought. Well, that moved to how you actually access the information. The Google generation of, do you know how to search for the information that you're looking for and how do you access it? And now that's evolved to, do you know the right prompts to ask an AI so you can actually get that AI to behave in the way that you want and give you the appropriate outcome? So it's interesting to see the evolution of how that has developed over time. So clearly AI is a key point that I think is going to drive a lot of change in healthcare in the coming years. It's still early. So I'm not seeing AI as a replacement to a physician or a clinical worker by any stretch of the imagination, but I do see it as a way for them to complement their work, to make diagnoses more quickly, and as a clinical decision support tool. I think also when, we're obviously seeing the use of a lot more technologies like video and audio technologies, video conferencing that are disrupting the place-space relationship that we used to have with health systems and redefining what that health system actually is. It used to be that the hospital was the center of where healthcare was provided, and now we're seeing that change pretty dramatically. So I think those two in particular, and the advent finally of remote patient monitoring, the ability to have clinically validated remote patient monitoring in a person's home that doesn't take place in the hospital, but that's giving you all of the great data. I'm actually amazed. I have an Apple Watch on my wrist right now at the level and quality of data that I'm getting off that Apple Watch. There's another company called Circle that has a ring that you can wear on your finger that provides 10 different parameters in terms of data that a physician can use to help diagnose or figure out whether they need to do an intervention or not. So I think, AI, telemedicine, and remote patient monitoring are what get me the most excited.
Absolutely. Thankfully, technology also grew up along with us. Thanks to the emergence of new technologies that have the potential to revolutionize not just the healthcare, but all industries, so to say. And overall, the future of healthcare looks promising as it continues to adopt and integrate these innovative technologies in days to come.
Yeah, I couldn't be more excited or more bullish on healthcare's future and its digital transformation. I still think we're in the early innings of what is a broader digital transformation in healthcare. From where I sit at Startup Health, you can't help but be excited by the challenges that are being worked on by companies in our portfolio. And we have companies in the portfolio that are unicorns like Devoted Health and CityBlock Health, down to very innovative new startups that are just getting underway right now. So our portfolio spans obviously hundreds of different companies right now. We're over you know, 300 plus companies that are active in the portfolio across those 15 moonshots I mentioned earlier. And every day I get to work with promising founders who get me incredibly excited about the future of healthcare and their ability to solve its challenges.
Absolutely. That was really insightful, Jamie. And this brings us to the end of the session. But before wrapping up, I would like to take a moment to express our sincerest gratitude to Jamie for joining us. Thank you so much, Jamie. We look forward to having you back on our show in the future.
Thank you for having me, Nitishree. It was great to be on. And it's great that you guys are continuing to have this dialogue, which I think is really important for people to hear. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, audience, for tuning in. If you have any questions or feedback, please don't hesitate to reach out to us and stay tuned for more interesting insights on technology. Thank you. Bye-bye.